To order, and I want to let you know, you're going to see a couple of empty chairs here today. Representing Beyer and Representing Burley are on their way to Baker City. There's a hearing over there for one of their other committees, so they don't. It's not that they don't like you, it's just that their chair asked them to be somewhere else today, so I wanted to explain that because I'm always pretty proud of my committee. They're usually, most all of them, here, and we think that's important.
So, Mr. Chair, you sure it's not your tie that broke?
That might be it. I don't Okay. We'll open a public hearing on 2608. John, you want to give us a little rundown?
Mr. Chair, this is a bill that would require applicants for a driver's license, driver's permit, or ID card to submit evidence as part of the application process that they are either a U.S. citizen or are a legal resident of the United States under federal immigration law.
Thank you, John. And the first person we have signed up is John Scruggs.
Welcome. Thanks for having me today. Thanks for hearing this matter. Thank you, Chair, for letting this bill move forward. My name is John Scruggs, citizen of Washington County, state of Oregon. I look at this as kind of an administrative matter. Let me tell you the background and me getting to actually getting this bill moving, which is that the state of Oregon historically has just given a driver's license to anyone, regardless of whether they are a legal resident of the United States. And in fact, this bill has been characterized as anti-immigration. And let me just set that aside for the moment and just saying that everybody in this room at some point, unless you're a Native American, is an immigrant to the United States. What we're talking about is legal resident status versus illegal resident status and people who are actually here illegally. And I don't think that they should get a driver's license. The reason I think that we need to require this is a number of reasons. Right now, DMV has issued licenses, multiple licenses, to the same person, even based on a matricular card. There's a case right now in the city of Portland where a guy has two different matricular cards that are issued to him and are different names with his picture on them, and he has two corresponding driver's licenses. Lucky for the citizens of the state, his only crime is to repeatedly drunk and drive. He drinks and drives. He's not a terrorist, but unless you're on the road, of course. Second to that, and there's going to be an argument, the opponents of this bill are going to say a couple different things, which is they're going to drive anyway. Well, people are going to steal anyway. Does that mean we get rid of the theft statute? I mean, quite honestly, they're here illegally. They're violating the state laws. Does that mean we just get rid of it because people are going to do it anyway? I don't think so. I think in this particular case, requiring somebody to prove they're a citizen to get a driver's license is a prudent and necessary measure. I think it's really an administrative matter entirely. We use licenses in law enforcement to identify people. The number one thing a law enforcement officer will use, and I have 15 years experience being a police officer, is someone's driver's license. That's how we identify people. And if people can get multiple licenses under multiple different names with pictures, I think it makes it easier them to commit a string of crimes. And we have proof of that already in just the jurisdiction where I work. This will also help reduce some fraud, going back to the fact that we don't require any strong federal documentation as far as you're a legal resident, you have a visa to be here, you are a citizen here. People can get multiple IDs again, and it makes it more difficult to track them down. And again, it really doesn't need to be that. We need to have people prove that they are U.S. citizen entitled to the privilege thereof of getting a driver's license. I hope that you pass this legislation and move it forward, and I'd like to thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Question? Yes,
Representative Hunt. Thank you very much. Brief testimony. You encapsulated it very briefly and well. I guess I'm curious, I mean, the whole argument about will folks drive or will they not drive? If this were to pass, would folks who are not citizens stop driving, or would they continue to drive? I guess give me your sense of what would happen in that
situation. I think some will continue to drive even without a driver's license. I find that when I make traffic stops, people drive all the time without a license, whether a U.S. citizen or not. So you are going to limit some of that. However, one of the things that we do when you drive without a license and you have no ID is we have the ability as law enforcement to take you down and fingerprint you to figure out who you are. And that's one way we can find out if you're actually wanted. You may be on a federal watch list. And we may not know that because you give us the wrong ID. Or you give us an ID that you obtained without using U.S. citizenship, immigration status paperwork. And so we won't know that. So, in fact, the 911 hijackers were stopped by law enforcement. Had they not had a driver's license, those people would have been taken into custody, and they would have been fingerprinted, and we probably would have found out some of those people were on the watch list, and we may have averted a huge tragedy.
I'd be interested, as someone who has been on both sides of collisions, both as the colliding person as well as the person being collided into by a vehicle. I'm curious as to the implications of this in that respect. It seems like it would have potential to actually create an even larger pool of uninsured drivers out there. Right now, those who go through the governmental process to become licensed, to get a register a vehicle, all those processes, would obviously not be doing that if this were to pass. Today, those folks are required to carry insurance, so if they hit me, I have some assurance that they have some insurance unless it's lapsed. Give me your sense of how this...
I don't think it will change that at all, sir. I go to accident scenes on a weekly basis, actually mostly daily basis, and I find time and time again that someone may have a driver's license in the state of Oregon, but they don't have insurance, and we seize those cars. But that's not going to change. And just because you get a driver's license does not mean you get insurance. And most of the time, what I'm finding is they don't. They get the driver's license, that's their ID, that's their privilege to drive, and they don't worry about the financial end of it. I'm glad to hear you've been on both sides of the accident, so have I.
Mr. Chair, thank you. There's a word for that. It's collide-y when you've been on that. Thank you, Mr. Scruggs. My question is, maybe you know the answer to this, and this may be an answer more directed toward an insurance official or an insurance expert. If you have a driver's license that's been issued to you under false standing, i.e. it's a legal document, it's not a fraudulent driver's license, it's a real driver's license, but it was issued based on false premises with the DMV, and you have insurance, does that insurance become null and void? I mean, I would imagine an insurance company requires that it is not only a legal driver's license, but legal standing behind the driver's license, and if there's fraud involved, or misstatement, however you want to say it. I don't know the answer to that question. Do you?
And I don't know for sure. I know that on the statement with my insurer, it does say, you know, if you fraudulently did X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. the policy is null and void. And in this particular case, I think that the insurance company could have an out saying this person is not even legally here. He was issued a driver's license that seemed to be valid, but he's actually committing a felony to be in the state.
Thank you.
Other questions? Yes.
I have two questions. The first is that you said that some citizen had two licenses with the same photo but different names and addresses. And how could they get that?
They went to the matricular or the consular office in downtown Portland and got a consular matricula card. It was a Spanish speaker, I believe a native of Mexico. And he went down there and got one. And then went back and get another one in a different, complete different name. And then use those to get a Oregon driver's license as ID.
Follow up on that then. Yes. So why didn't DMV pick it up if it had the same photo on?
Because when you go to register and get your new photo, they look at the name. And if you, let's say I picked up your ID and you reported it lost, or I said I'm you and I went down there, and I gave them exactly your name and your date of birth, when they pulled up, there's going to be a picture of you on file. It's already on the computer. They're looking at it when they're issuing you a license. If you give them a completely different name, there's how many Oregon driver's licenses would they have to search through to get it? So it doesn't come up to them with the picture. And even on top of that is if you go to, say, Lloyd Center DMV or Beaverton DMV, you're not going to go and see the same DMV person either, who might go, didn't I just give that guy a license 3 months ago, which was the case that happened here? This person went to two different DMVs with two different matricular cards.
Okay. And then my second real question was, if people are here legitimately, have a legitimate work permit, and they have residence in Oregon, but they're not a citizen of the United States,
As long as they have legal federal status here, I think they should be issued a driver's license and the privilege of that. But if they're here illegally, that's where I'm drawing the line. If you're already here illegally.
And I'm just referring to follow-up, Mr. Chair. This says requires a person to be a citizen of the United States or otherwise legally present. I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Yes, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In Utah, recently they signed into law granting driving certificates or something to that effect to people who could not prove citizenship. What is your opinion of that type of law? At least it would grant people driving privileges?
Well, I disagree with it. And, you know, and quite honestly, the way we issue licenses right now actually conflicts with another ORS statute, which is, I have, a, I'm not going to, if you read ORS 162.325, which is hindering prosecution, if a person commits the crime of hindering prosecution, if, with intent to hinder their apprehension, prosecution, conviction, or punishment of a person who has committed a crime punishable as a felony, that's immigration law, is a felony, or with the intent to assist a person who has committed a crime punishable as a felony in profiting or benefiting from commission of the crime, the person does any one of the following. And subsection C provides or aids in providing such person with money, transportation, weapon, disguise, or other means of avoiding discovery or apprehension. So the state of Oregon is actually violating its own statute on a daily basis by offering driver's licenses to people that they could or should know aren't even legal residents. And if we had this statute, we wouldn't be doing that. Is that clear, or did that dry up something else?
Well, actually, what I was referring to, thank you, Mr. Chair, for the follow-up. As I understand the law that they've just signed March 8th, I guess, in Utah, is that it just grants the driving privilege. It does not serve as ID. It just allows them to drive legally with a certificate. It does not.
Well, I know what Utah was getting at, but the problem with that law is that you're still saying, well, this person's here illegally committing a felony to be in the United States without documentation, and we're granting him driving privileges even though that's going on. It goes back to what my opponents will probably say is, they're going to drive anyway. Well, people are going to steal anyway, people are going to rob anyway, and we have statutes against those. So just because they're going to do it does not make it right.
Further questions? Thank you, John.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Ruth Bindle?
Can Karen call me together with me? We're both together.
Oh, that's fine, yes.
Thank you. My name is Ruth Bindle. My address, 10980 Southwest Muirwood Drive, Portland 97225. I've submitted testimony together with Mike Balanese, and we are also co-sponsors of the House Bill 2583, which requires proof of citizenship from people registering to vote. I see this bill as a companion to what is required for people registering to vote, particularly as the centralized voter registration system that is to be implemented by the end of this year will be using the driver's license along with the last four digits of the social security number as an ID requirement for new registrants. So it seems to me that I would also suggest that part of the money that is going to go for the centralized voter registration system should also be assigned to DMV to upgrade driver's licenses so that they do indicate whether a person is a legal resident or a citizen. And I would stretch it to guest worker as well. And it doesn't take an awful lot of money to have a notary stamp to put that onto the driver's license. And that would meet multiple requirements. I'm also concerned about the fraudulent driver's licenses that have been excessively distributed in the city of Hillsborough. I've given out a copy to you of the cases that are pending in Hillsborough in July of this year. They've been postponed. They're also the coverage by the Oregonian. They estimate up to 70,000 driver's licenses, falsified driver's licenses, have been issued just from one city alone, Hillsborough. It's been a racketeering operation, and it's at one of these satellite DMVs known as DMEs, which stands for Driver Motor Education School. And the point of the matter is that those driver's licenses are used as ID. And those driver's licenses have been used also, without any doubt, to get voter registration privileges. I do think we're in a post-9/11 era that we need to make sure that credentials that are given out to people are only issued to the people who have a lawful right to those credentials. We need to be sure that our adversaries do not know that the state of Oregon is one of 10 states out of the 50 that is vulnerable in its accessibility to credentials that adversaries would like to have to further their aims against us. And I do regard this trend with the driver's license, what is being proposed, as a beneficial to Homeland Security. We've had people imported into Oregon for getting falsified driver's licenses, even with other people taking the tests for them, so that somebody else takes the driving test and that person gives a false address and a false name, and they're suddenly legitimate. I think we need to do something to clean that up. Just from one city alone, up to 70,000 falsified driver's licenses. That's unacceptable, certainly in a post-9/11 era. I do hope that you approve this bill, and soon. Thank you very much. If Sharon wishes to add anything.
My name is Sharon Cornish, P.O. Box 312, Hillsborough. Hello. I went to the courts to get these documentations for you. I also went to the Oregonian to get their report on it. And there is a third brother also. The only reason I didn't provide that for you is because it was in the court, not in the public record room. This is an organized criminal enterprise. And if you read all the documentation, it's one of the biggest in Washington County that's ever happened. Not only did they give out bogus driver's licenses in Hillsborough, but they picked people up at Portland Airport from New York, and they were Chinese immigrants. And they issued bogus driver's license to them and sent them back home. This is not just bogus in Oregon. It's California, Idaho, Nevada, and New York. It's an organized enterprise. And I don't want any more leniency through the DME that set up these DMEs. We're too liberal. We need to rein in all of this criminal activity. Not only can you use your driver's license to drive, but it becomes an ID for all the social services, for banking, for anything. I've also turned in all this to the banks locally. What they're going to do with it, I don't know. But I suggest you agree with this bill, please.
Thank you very much.
Thank
questions?
You.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed that the bill would be applicable at a point at which someone would be renewing, replacing, or reinstating driver's license. Is your concern so strong about the current state of affairs in Oregon that you would rather see this just apply to all of us instantaneously as opposed to waiting? I mean, driver's licenses obviously go on for years.
I'm not even sure they can trace what happened because of the business records that these people kept. So it pretty well even nullifies all of our legitimacy, because how do you know who's who anymore? I don't know. I don't know if we should start over, or if driver's license shouldn't be an ID. I do agree that we should be proving citizenship in everything we do.
Yes, if I could follow up, out of curiosity, do either of the two of you have proof today that you're citizens of the United States or here?
Not on me, but I sure could if I had to get anything new to.
I don't have my passport or my naturalization certificate with me, but if you don't do anything about this bill, we will have to take our passport to get on an airplane to go to San Francisco when the Real ID Act passes in the U.S. Senate very shortly, which the President of the United States has already indicated he's going to pass. So Oregonians will find themselves trooping around with passports or naturalization certificates all around the countryside in order to be able to get on a plane. So even if you manage to go from here someplace else, that other end, Salt Lake or wherever it is still going to say, all you've got is a driver's license, you better get on a bus. We won't accept you on a plane. So think about it. We are just one of 10 states that is being this lenient about the documentation that we issue. And bear in mind, two 9/11 terrorists utilized voter ID cards and falsified driver's licenses to gain access to flight training school. Oregon has got schools targeted by the Iraqis, even. We've already heard that for quite a while. And Oregon is also seen vulnerable because of its borders with neighboring Washington and the proximity to both the Mexican and to the Canadian border, where there seems to be an idea of adversaries trying to infiltrate, and they all know about the easy access to driver's licenses and voter ID cards. I think it's time that we think first and forward security of all the citizenry and protection of our buildings like schools, which, as I've just said, are being considered targets for adverse action. Thank you.
Thank you. No further questions. Thank you very much. Jim Ludwig?
Good guess. I wish I could say that I was a product of poor education, but the teachers were very good. I just wasn't a great writer. My name is Jim Ludwig. I live at 7500 Southwest Leibold Road in McMinnville. And I'm in here testifying in favor of the bill. Before I get to my testimony, could I address Representative Hunt's question about looking at existing driver's licenses? Would that be appropriate?
Fine with me.
There is a program. This bill doesn't address it, but there is a program that's available to every state. In fact, 39 states currently do it. It's called the Online Social Security Online Verification System. It has two components to it, and states can do one of both, one or both. Idaho does both, and it's an online verification system where a driver's license applicant submits his Social Security number, which they all have to do, even in Oregon, and it's electronically transferred to the Social Security Administration and verified while the applicant's at the counter. It would cost the state 3 cents each. Oregon, if they do 30,000, maybe $1,000 a year to implement that program. Idaho went a step further, as did New York, and they retroactively looked at all existing Social Security numbers and sent them back to the Social Security Administration for verification. And they did it under a batch system with the Social Security Administration, and it cost a quarter of a penny to verify these. It costs the state of Idaho to look at all existing 1 million driver's licenses. It costs them $1,400 to see if there was any incorrect Social Security number submitted. And they found a rate of about 7 to 8%. I'd like to read a paragraph out of the 9/11 Commission report. on page 390, it states, recommendation, secure identification should begin in the United States. The federal government should set standards for the issuance of birth certificates, sources of identification, such as driver's licenses. Fraud in identification documents is no longer just a problem of theft. At many entry points, vulnerable facilities, including gates for boarding aircraft, sources of identification are the last opportunity to ensure people who are there, people who say they are there, that's exactly who they are, and whether or not they're potential terrorists. Oregon is, as has been stated early, one of nine states that doesn't, that allows illegal aliens to get a driver's license. 39 other states obviously do not. A driver's license, of course, is much more than a document that says you can drive. It's our primary source of identification. We use it to board planes, to cash checks, to register to vote. The 19 Islamic terrorists had among them a reported 63 different driver's licenses from states all over the United States. Many of those states that issued driver's license to those 19 Islamic terrorists now no longer have the process in place where they would be able to get driver's licenses. They've cleaned it up. Recently, an illegal alien from El Salvador was sentenced to prison in California for the rape of a developmentally disabled woman. This same person, Luis Salva, had served 7 years in prison in Oregon for 9 convictions of sexual assault and was deported to El Salvador. When he returned back to California, he raped this woman, and when they arrested him, he had 3 Oregon driver's licenses in his possession. 3. Raymond Martinez is the director of the New York Department of Transportation. Martinez, by executive order, sent the New York Department of Transportation onto the online verification system that I talked about earlier. And when I saw him interviewed on the Lou Dobbs show, I'm going to quote him, and I hope I'm going to quote him as accurately as I could because I was trying to write down what he said. And Martinez said this, after 9/11, we no longer had a choice but to change our driver's license requirements. We owe it to the victims of the terrorist attack and to our citizens to ensure that our driver's license will not be used as a tool to commit attacks on us. When they sent the Social Security numbers of the existing driver's license back for verification, they came up with 500,000 incorrect numbers. Well, they notified those 500,000 people and said your numbers are incorrect. They clarified 250,000 of them. 250,000. The state's in the process of revoking those licenses. Martinez said on the program that there were 500 New York City taxicab drivers who had, as a minimum, 3 New York State driver's licenses. 500 with a minimum of 3. One had 14. The reason for it is that the cab drivers wanted to keep their license to drive, their cab license to drive. If they got a ticket or an accident in one, they would keep another one clean. Last week, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Real ID Act. And Ruth Bendel mentioned that. It's H.R. 418. Among the provisions in the bill are new standards for driver's license and ID cards. H.R. 418 would require states to verify that the driver's license applicant is either an American citizen or legally in the country. Except for passports, foreign documents could not be used as proof of applicant's legal name, date of birth, or other information. In other words, the matricular consular card would no longer be used. For all non-U.S. citizens, the driver's license would expire on the date that their visa or green card expires. If the U.S. Senate passes this bill, and what they did is they added it to the appropriations bill for the war on Iraq and Iran. If the Senate passes that, states such as Oregon would have 3 years to change their driver's license procedure and bring it in line. If they don't do that, if Oregon would remain one of the states that doesn't change, your driver's license would be no longer valid to board a plane, to even walk into a federal building where they check IDs, or in fact, what it would be basically is proof that you can drive in Oregon, and that's it. You wouldn't be able to use it in many other places. The Real ID Act passed the U.S. House of Representatives by a 261-161 vote. In the Oregon delegation, Representatives Peter DeFazio, Greg Walden, and Darlene Hooley all voted for the Real ID Act. They voted for it because it's absolutely common sense. House Bill 2608 is also common sense. And I urge you to vote for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Questions? You get off. Let's see, Robin. Robin Freeman.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Robin Freeman, here today on behalf of the Oregon Department of Transportation. House Bill 2608 requires people to be a citizen or legally present in the United States before they can receive an Oregon driver's license, a driver permit, or an ID card. Currently, Oregon is one of 11 states that does not verify that a person is legally present in the United States for issuing driver's license, driver permit, or ID cards. What this bill does is requires DMV to verify that a person is either a U.S. citizen or legally present in the United States for issuing the driver's license, driver permit, or ID card. This bill amends current statute to do three things that would impact DMV. Require the application for the license to contain evidence that a person is a citizen, U.S. citizen, or legally present in the United States. Require proof of U.S. citizenship or legal presence before issuance of an identification card. Require proof of U.S. citizenship or legal presence before renewing, replacing, reinstating a driver's license, driver permit, or identification card. Some issues we'd like the committee to consider today. Based on the data from the 2000 U.S. Census, 2.6% of Oregon's population is not legally present. Some of these individuals already hold current Oregon driver's licenses. Individuals who are unable to comply with the requirements of this bill may drive without a license or insurance. DMV will no longer be able to test these individuals or on their knowledge of Oregon traffic laws or their driving abilities. You've already heard about the recent legislation that passed through the House of Representatives and Congress, the Real ID Act. We concur if the state does not comply with this bill, if it's signed by the president, federal agencies would no longer accept that state driver's licenses or ID cards were valid for official federal purposes. This bill as written requires DMV to verify legal presence every time a driver license, driver permit, or ID card is issued, renewed, replaced, or reinstated. And this does create a permanent workload for DMV. If we could add a verification notation to the person's record, it would not be necessary to re-verify legal presence. Currently, DMV reinstates suspended driver's licenses in field offices, over the phone, and through the mail, because not all reinstatements require the issuance of a new card. This bill requires that DMV prove a person is a U.S. citizen or legally present in the United States before every reinstatement. Customers would need to go in person to a DMV field office to submit proof of citizenship or legal presence or send their documents through the mail. We anticipate that most customers will go to the field offices, and again, this will increase field office workload. DMV recommends that verification of legal presence not be a requirement for reinstatement, and we feel that this has a potential to reduce our impact by 4 FTE. DMV currently issues a valid without photo license through the mail to people who are temporarily out of state or country. Folks that would get this type of a license would be military personnel, college students, missionaries, perhaps travelers that lost their ID while they were out of the state or out of the country, and they need to replace or renew their driver's licenses. There's no exception in this bill that would waive the requirement for proving legal presence before issuance to these customers. Valid without photo license applications, applicants would need to send their original or certified copies of proof of legal presence. So that would be a Social Security card, a birth certificate, or INS documents through the mail before we could issue those valid without photo licenses. And although DMV will return documents to the customer, some folks may not feel comfortable sending original documents, identity documents, through the mail. So currently, DMV does not verify that a person is legally present, present in the United States before issuing personal driver's license, permit, or identification card. This bill will require DMV to receive proof of citizenship, U.S. citizenship, or legal presence before issuing, renewing, replacing, or reinstating a driver's license, permit, or ID card. The department estimates significant expenses to verify legal presence documentation for issuance of these documents and for renewals and reinstatements. A DMV also estimates a significant loss of revenue resulting from the department not collecting fees for issuance and services from people who are not legally present currently taking testing and purchasing these services. In summary, DMV will require that all applicants prove U.S. citizenship with the passage of this bill, or they are legally present in the United States prior to issuing any driver's license, driver permit, or identification card. DMV does recommend removing reinstatements from proof of legal presence. That concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to answer questions for the committee.
Thank you, Robin. I did a TV show last night and looked at the new driver's licenses, and I was informed that now, of course, it'll take a few years for us to get it in the system. We will be able to match the face with the name in a database. Is that correct?
I think you're talking about issuance process, and we currently have an over-the-counter issuance process. So if you have a photo on file, we can verify that picture on your driver's license with the photo on file. Mm-hmm. But we don't have an issuance process that runs your photo against all the other photos in the system. So
okay.
I'm sort of saying no.
You can check our photo
against your photo.
You can't see if it's duplicated in the systems.
No, we have 2.8 million drivers in our system currently, approximately. So that would take, at a minimum, an overnight batch type process to do that.
One other question, and then I'll let the committee have it, Robin. Social Security numbers, kind of a pet of mine. There is a system in the United available to the states, and I think 38 states are availing themselves to that system right now, where they check Social Security numbers. Do you have any idea what it would cost for us to implement that system in Oregon?
Chair Gilman, I believe that a figure of 3 cents a person was talked about earlier today, and I think I could verify that for you. I think that may be correct, but I'd like to verify that with DMV before I...
I've heard it be less than that, too. The number of the initial startup for it, too.
Right. I'll get that information.
Okay, now, questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the testimony, Robin. Some of the earlier testimony talked about the states that since 9/11 have changed from the standard that Oregon currently practices to the standard which this bill would implement in Oregon. Do you have any sense among your colleagues in the various DMVs and other states, especially those states that have switched over the last 2 or 3 years, of what the true cost and impact was? In your testimony, you discuss significant expenses and the significant loss of revenue. Has there been any real-world experience with that in your communications or your office communications with some of your other, partners, but colleagues, if you will, in some of the other DMVs in the different states?
Chair Gilman, Representative Bruin, I don't have any information for you today. I know that our fiscal will be based on how we do issuance and this bill as it impacts our processes and procedures and the services that we offer today. But I'd be happy to look into that and see if I can find some reference material for you.
May I follow up, Mr. Chair? I just want to make sure I know how you calculate that. You mentioned that your estimation based on the census was that 2.6% of the residents, make sure I understood this correctly, 2.6% of the residents in Oregon right now are currently illegal residents. And so is that how you're basing your estimation of costs and loss of revenue? Just take the macro pie, if you will, of how many people would apply for a license and reduce that by 2.6%. Is that how you came up with your
Chair Gilman, Representative Bruin, what we're using are 2,000 U.S. Census Bureau figures that have told us that illegal residents were in Oregon.
Right.
So that's really all we have to go on right now. And basically, yes, that's what we've used to make a lot of our calculations with.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to make sure I'm correct in understanding, as of today, the U.S. House has passed a bill. Senate has not passed that bill. President has not signed it. So as of today and until and unless this bill were passed, Oregon driver's licenses are completely compliant with serving as ID in terms of airports and other kind of documentation. We're in compliance with the federal law today, unless and until that bill passes.
Chair Gilman, Representative Hunt, yes.
Can I just follow up one question? Out of curiosity, Robin, do you have any ID on you today that demonstrates that you are a citizen or otherwise legally present in the United States?
Chair Gilman, Representative Hunt, no.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Thatcher.
Just to follow up, my daughter just got her driver's permit not too long ago. I know, scary. We did have to bring in a birth certificate, and the other ID, quote unquote, was a paycheck stub. I mean, that was all that was needed. But I also thought it was interesting when I was doing some research that Nevada will not accept an Oregon ID as part of their identification. When if you moved from Oregon to Nevada and wanted to get a driver's license there, they would not accept your Oregon license or ID as one of their acceptable forms of ID. I thought it was interesting. But I also want to follow up on what Representative Bruin was saying. You said that the DMV also estimates a significant loss of revenue resulting from the department not collecting fees for issuance and services from people who are not legally present. Wouldn't there also be a corresponding reduction in workload as well?
Chair Gilman, Representative Thatcher, our workload is going to increase significantly because we're going to be processing people, if you will, at the counter to explain that they're going to have to prove their U.S. citizenship and then check and verify that what they are giving us is valid documentation. So initially we're anticipating increase. And we have to check it for every, with this bill, we check it for every transaction, basically, that we do. So we anticipate an increase based on that.
Further questions?
Okay. Yeah, may fall off to that line of questioning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. DMV was in here 2 days ago testifying on another bill, not related to this one, but one that did discuss ID requirements. I can't remember the gentleman's name, Robin, that was here. I think he's the manager in charge of the various DMV branches. And I understand absolutely what Robin is saying as far as the workload and the training that has to be involved. To a degree, though, that's contrary to what the testimony was 2 days ago, which when the gentleman said that, yeah, it's a challenge, but we have specific guidelines and we're going through that training anyway. So I'm just throwing it out for discussion that the DMV is going through that process anyway about regarding how to evaluate and process legal U.S. or Oregon ID. So what we're doing here, and this is my opinion, not necessarily fact, but in my opinion, what we're asking the DMV to do with this bill is not significantly more than the DMV, and I think it was a DMV-sponsored bill, wants to do themselves. That's more of a comment, but I'd be happy if you have a comment on that.
And I have to jump in with the exception that I think the way the bill's written, we may need to work on it a little bit, Representative, because I don't think we should redo this. If they've once proven they're a citizen, I don't think there's any need to go for renewal. But I think that's the way it reads, is it not, Robin?
Yeah,
or your interpretation. Yeah. Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Andrea Meyer.
Chair Gilman, members of the committee, Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. Thank you. I apologize for my earlier absence. I actually had to testify in two hearings today at the same time, which is troubling and hard to do. The ACLU of Oregon opposes House 2608 because it makes us less safe and less free. It will have a profound effect not only on the immigrant community, but those who are homeless, suffer from mental conditions, are in transition in our communities. House Bill 2608 fundamentally changes the purpose of a driver's license, which is to ensure that only qualified drivers get behind the wheel, into an internal passport. Oregon rightly requires applicants for a driver's license to take a written test on our traffic laws and a practical test on the basic operation of a motor vehicle. These requirements protect our safety. Depriving large numbers of non-citizens of the ability to legally operate a motor vehicle will only increase the number of unlicensed and uninsured drivers on the road, thereby making our roads less safe. Further, there's no credible evidence that restricting driver's licenses will reduce terrorism. Only four of the 19 September 11th hijackers were in this country illegally. It would not be able to legally obtain an Oregon driver's license under the proposed legislation. Of course, any form of ID can be counterfeited, and individuals capable of carrying out elaborate plots against our nation are also generally able to get fake ID. The American citizens who carried out the worst terrorism attacks prior to September 11th, the Oklahoma City bombing, would also have been able to obtain a driver's license under House Bill 2608. Ali Mohammed, who wrote Al-Qaeda's terrorist handbook on how to operate in the West, is a naturalized U.S. citizen, and he would not be prevented from getting an Oregon driver's license under House Bill 2608. Proposals like House Bill 2608 actually create a false sense of security, also making us less safe. Beyond the safety concerns, House Bill 2608 perpetuates discrimination against immigrants, which is a threat to our nation's highest ideals that make us all less free. The United States is a nation of immigrants with a long, proud history of granting asylum to those fleeing from religious or political persecution. By targeting immigrants for discrimination, House Bill 2608 violates that distinguished tradition embodied in the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, because it singles out non-citizens for different treatment under the law without any legitimate justification. Laws targeting non-citizens for discrimination were among the first struck down by the United States Supreme Court under the 14th Amendment in cases such as Yek Wu versus Hopkins from 1886. This proposal attempts to put state DMV employees in the business of enforcing extremely complex immigration laws for which they have no authority, little or no training, and limited resources. Instead of making our communities safer, such a policy decision will create a climate of fear among immigrant communities, making them less likely to contact local government officials, including the police, when they have information about crimes or terrorism threats. At a time when our government ought to strive to keep us safe and free, House Bill 2608 does the opposite. Preventing immigrants from getting driver's license is not going to protect our roads, and it will not protect us from terrorism. It will accomplish is to continue a regrettable practice of demonizing immigrants in times of national emergency. Such discrimination weakens our commitments to the principles of equality and opportunity upon which this country is founded. This is also an excellent example of unintended but profound consequences. Although the proponents state that they are targeting only those who are not in this country legally, this law will greatly burden many who are legally in this country. Persons who suffer from mental health issues, those who are homeless or otherwise in transition, simply do not have access or possession of documents necessary to prove citizenship. Identification cards are crucial for them to get access to housing, employment, Social Security benefits, disability benefits, food stamps, and even access to our federal court building in Oregon and Portland and Eugene. If we deny this susceptible population access to identification, it will have a profound ripple effect in our communities. Not only are we not safer, but many of us will suffer directly from this proposal, regardless of citizenship status. For all these reasons, the ACLU of Oregon urges this committee not to pass House Bill 2608. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, at the same time.
Andrea, any evidence with you today that you're a citizen or here legally?
Chair Gilman, Representative Hunt, no, and not on any day, and I will not carry that kind of information because I don't want it stolen from me.
Andrea, would you?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go. First of all, I appreciate your testimony, and I know you're passionate about this. I have to take issue with some of the language you've used. I realize the passion, but based on this testimony, the 41 states in the nation right now that currently do this must be on the brink of anarchy and collapse. And I don't think that's the case, and I'm not trying to belittle the testimony, but I think you have to be. I would ask you to be cautious when you throw around things like perpetuates discrimination against immigrants and targeting immigrants for discrimination. Let me give, and this is anecdotal, Mr. Chair. I was worried about that when this bill came to me. My one concern was, A, I want to do it because I believe it's homeland security issues. B, I've got some trepidation and need to explore this because it could be construed and obviously has been construed as anti-immigrant, as anti-immigration. Once again, I can only say this anecdotally, but I want to do the smell test on this. My chief of staff is a legal immigrant from South America. She's been here a couple years. She's gone through the hard work and what she needs to do to become a legal resident and a legal worker in the United States of America. She's from Brazil. I went to her and I said, how do you feel about this? Does this strike you is this against you? Does this strike you as contrary? And she read it and took some time with it and actually read it over a weekend and got back to me. And her point, once we talked about it again, was quite the contrary. She's upset because people like her that follow the letter of the law and do everything they're asked to do and try to abide by the rules and try to abide by the law and try to adhere to federal standards about what she needs to do to be legal, to legally live and legally work in the United States, she's followed. And it wasn't easy. It was a lot of work. She had to go through the normal process, and we all know how slow the State Department is. We know how slow the Immigration Department is. It's federal bureaucracy. It's state bureaucracy, everything else. But the fact of the matter is she wants to be in the United States, and she did the work necessary. She didn't try to circumvent anything. She did the work necessary. And so for her, and I can't imagine that her opinion is isolated. My thought would be it's probably predominant among legal immigrants, is that it's completely unfair for someone like her to have to do it and somebody else not to.
Chair Gilman, Representative Roone, let's see. There's so much there. Let me first. There are undoubtedly those, as yourself included, who are well-intentioned, thinking this through, and there are others who will grasp onto these types of proposals who are not well-intentioned. But I think, in terms of those who can speak most passionately, eloquently about the effect on the immigrant community and the chilling effect this will have, are those who may come after me in testimony, and it's better for them to speak directly of their experiences. Again, our DMV is not the federal government, and the federal government is the one responsible for enforcing immigration laws. And your staff person is jumping through the hoops so that they obtain legal citizenship, which will give them many benefits and privileges as well as responsibilities in our society. And that is the role of the federal government. It is not, in our position, the role of the DMV to be the de facto immigration enforcement for driver's license and identification cards. That is not citizenship. There's other documentation that she holds in her person, in fact, probably, as we've talked about, may have to carry with her every day. That establishes her citizenship. Nothing else. My driver's license doesn't establish anyone's citizenship. It's very few documents that do, and that's not changed here.
Andrew, one question, and I look for it in your testimony, couldn't find it, but you indicated that the driver's license is really just a driver's license, and it's not a piece of identification, but the truth is, it is a piece of identification. As a matter of fact, when you go to vote, that's one of the pieces of information that they will accept. So I think the driver's license has become an ID piece, even though maybe it wasn't intended that way. And, of course, now we do identification cards, too, in the same department.
Chair Gilman, it is your identification piece, as is the ID that you can get if you don't get a driver's license. It's not your passport, and it's not proof of citizenship. And that should never become that we are then required to carry around a document at all times proving that we're citizens in this country.
Andrea, do you feel that individuals that are here illegally should be able to vote in Oregon?
Chair Gilman, no, and I believe that's a federal or that's a criminal offense if they sign that document saying that they are citizens.
Thank you.
So we've got that covered by when they sign the paper, we all do. Voting is a requirement for citizenship. Driving is not that kind of privilege.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ramon Ramirez.
Good afternoon, committee. For the record, my name is Ramon Ramirez. I'm president of the Oregon Farm Worker Union, and on behalf of PECUN and its 5,000 members, we wish to strongly oppose House Bill 2608. We are a union of immigrant workers who would be greatly affected by House Bill 2608 if enacted. The law would require proofs of citizenship or legal residence to obtain a driver's license, permit, or identification card in Oregon. This piece of legislation does nothing for homeland security or identity theft and will only put Oregonians at risk because it will lead to an increase unlicensed, uninsured drivers on the road. Similar bills labeled by the Latino community as driving while Hispanic were defeated in 1995 and in the 2003 legislative sessions. Proponents of restrictive licensing argue that licensing undocumented immigrants reward unlawful conduct and jeopardizes national security. But the fact of the matter is that there is evidence that shows that licensing all people in the United States who can presently secure an ID document regardless of immigration status strengthens national security and promotes highway safety and increased insured motor rates. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration of the United States reports that improper driver's license people that are citizens and non-citizens are like immigrants cause 11% of fatal accidents, 6,100 deaths, and create about $25 billion in property damage. On the issue of national security, we are just concerned on the safety and welfare of our community and our country. And we are working with the Department of Motor Vehicle here in Oregon through a Latino task force to ensure that a secure and reliable system is in place to avoid the identity fraud, like was pointed out earlier in testimony. We testified here 2 days ago talking about how we can improve the system to avoid identity theft. It was a problem before. I think this year, I think the Department of Motor Vehicle has put in place a very, very secure process to identify if you're applying for a driver's license or an ID and you're that person. I think we were given examples. We were taken to a process by DMV where they showed us where, you know, they were able to confiscate a lot of false documentation. I got to say that the documentation I seen that were confiscated was not from from illegal or immigrants at all. In fact, there were most of the people that were had their documentation confiscated was actually Anglos. And then to the point that you raised, Representative Brom, was I think that this bill is an attempt to shape national immigration policy. It is clear that immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform, is needed in this country. Our current system that we have in place is broken, but this is not the way to do it. This is not the way to fix it. To the Sensenbrenner bill or the Real ID Act that passed the Congress, I gotta say that while it passed with a overwhelming support in Congress, you know, there's strong opposition to that bill in the Senate. So it's by no means going to be a law. There's going to be a big fight over it. While it's attached to the what's called the supplemental bill for paying the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, there's going to be a big fight over that. And I could tell you that every major Latino and immigrant organization in this country, including the major African-American civil rights organization in the United States, is opposing that legislation. And I could say that in terms of legal immigration, like I say, our immigration laws are broken, right? My wife turned citizenship about 5 years ago, and she's trying to bring her mother over here, and it's taken us like 5 years, and we still haven't gotten her here. And I've even gotten letters from our congressional representatives to do that. right? The other thing is that our Congress back in 1996 reneged on a lot of promises they made during the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, and therefore, you know, encouraged the immigration, the migration of folks into this country, and then changed the standard of which somebody can apply for a permanent resident by raising the bar, the poverty guidelines, by over 125%, and also creating huge backlogs. So in fact, what we've had currently in this country is many of the people, I predict, that are driving in the state of Oregon who are currently undocumented should be documented and are on waiting lists. And because our Congress reneged on promises made back in the late 80s and early 90s, they're undocumented. But I would say that if you morally took the standards that we have in this country, of which this country was founded on, the principles of family reunification, you will see that a lot of the people that are driving in our state right now deserve to be driving, and in fact are in de facto waiting lists that should have been, they should have been permanent residents at this time. The other thing I want to address is the economic impact that this bill will have on the Oregon economy. I mean, Oregon, there's several industries in the state who are the backbone. The backbone of those industries are immigrant workers. Food processing, nurseries, agriculture, the service industry. This bill would have a tremendous effect if many immigrants who are working in these industries couldn't get to work. And the fact of the matter is that regardless of what their legal status are, you know, these workers perform an economic benefit to our state. And we should be proud. We should be more than proud because we have these workers coming to the state and saving our economy. You can go to every major industry where these workers are working, and the employers will tell you that these are the greatest workers that are here today, that are benefiting and sustaining our economic prosperity in the state. And in addition to that, you know, we should be proud because we didn't spend 1 cent in the education and the health and welfare of these workers. We didn't spend 1 cent because these workers came from another country. I would say that in addition to that, I believe that this law creates a double standard of discrimination because when people apply for a driver's license and people or apply for ID, you know, they're going to be asked for their documents. And when I talk about a double standard, I'm talking about, I've lived in the state of Oregon for 30 years, right? My grandfather fought in World War I for this country. My father fought in the Korean War. My uncles fought in World War II in the Vietnam War, right? And I'm discriminated every day. Every day as a Latino male, I feel I'm discriminated upon. Right, and for my grandparents, you know, or my grandfather to fight, you know, to fight for the democracy of the United States and still see his child be discriminated upon, you know, that doesn't make sense. And what I'm talking about is you go to apply for a driver's license. I don't think if this bill becomes law that there's going to be a uniform application of the law. I think if a white person went in at the same time and a Latino looking person went in, who's going to be asked for their passport? I believe the Latino person is. So that's why I think there's a double standard there. Therefore, I really strongly urge this committee to vote in opposition to House Bill 2608. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Yes. Mr. Ramirez, if you look at your membership, obviously they're in a variety of different job responsibilities. Could you give us a sense of those that actually are required to drive as part of their employment? I assume that some of your members actually have employment requirements that require them to drive.
Chair Gilman, Representative Hunt, I believe that I would say the overwhelming majority of our membership are required to drive to work.
If I could follow up, and are some of them also required to actually drive as part of their work on the farm?
Representative Gilman, Representative Hunt, a majority also are required to, if they're working in in agriculture or in horticulture, they're required to drive tractors or transportation vehicles to move, you know, plants and crops from a field to a rig or a trailer. So it's required.
Finally, Mr. Chair, Mr. Ramirez, I'll ask you the same question I've been asking other folks. Do you have any proof today that of your citizenship or legal status?
You know, I would, but I left it at home. I left it at home. I was going to bring it though, because it's a good point that you're making, sir. Because about 11 years ago, I really felt compelled that I had to, you know, get a passport and carry it with me at all times, because, you know, discrimination, you know, being a person of color, you know, you feel discrimination in this state, you know, every day. And I felt it, right? And it hurts, you know, and I've had this discussion with my family and also with my sister who also lives in Oregon. And people always tell her, where are you from? Right? You know, like, where, you know, and say, or what part of Mexico are you from? Right? And, you know, we were born in the U.S. So, I mean, we go through this every day, you know, and so we're, you know, this is really means a lot to us. That's why we're, you know, strongly opposed to this bill.
Thank you, Ramon. I appreciate it. Excuse me. I'm saying that.
I'm sorry that you're subject to that discrimination. I do have a Puerto Rican-born nephew, and also, as well as an Armenian-born niece and a Japanese-born niece. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry you're experiencing that. I think that's wrong. But getting to a question I'd asked an earlier person, are you aware of a law they just passed in Utah that grants driving privileges? I mean, they take the test and all that, but it's not used as a form of ID. Just wondered if you had any comments on that. It's also something they're considering in, I believe, New Mexico and Tennessee as well.
Yeah, I'm aware of that proposal, and I'm opposed to it, because in addition to what I've talked about earlier, I think you know, unless we fix our immigration laws, we're going to continue to have a problem here, and I understand that there's bipartisan support now for, you know, reforming our immigration laws now, and I think the president has made it known that, you know, he's for it too. But until then, we're going to have situations like in Utah. You know, I think it also discriminate. That's a form of discrimination also. I mean, when you have an ID card where you know, somehow it's not a uniform ID. I mean, you know, it's I look at it like apartheid in South Africa, where, you know, I believe that all people are created equal and should be treated that way. And because you happen to be here, and who knows what your immigrant status was that got you here, right? Because I know a number of people in our community, because of their immigration status, they didn't have the right form filled out or something, are in the country legally, but don't have the proper documentation, and that could be, I mean, that could be, you know, just because of that, you could be given an ID card with, you know, that has this kind of information, which I think is wrong. And I also believe, I think Tennessee's also considering that. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Follow up. Just wondered what, but, you know, I get it. We had heard from an excerpt from the 9/11 Commission report. I don't have it right in front of me, but basically stating that we need to figure out how to make our identification more secure and have more integrity to it. And just yesterday, there was published an article in, this is the Christian Science Monitor, and it said that U.S. officials revealed that Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, I'm not sure if I pronounced that just right, but he may be planning to broaden his campaign to include strikes in the U.S. and suggested it would be easy to infiltrate the U.S. through the southern border. what would you suggest would be a good way to deal with that? As
Representative Gilman and Representative Thatcher, that's directly my point that I was making earlier, is that this is an attempt to address an immigration law that requires years and years of study, right? Years ago we proposed in 1986 that a binational commission be authored or created to precisely study not only border security issues, because we've seen the problems of drug dealing and also smuggling of human beings, which is a very, very huge problem in this country. Whether you want to believe it or not, I would pick up the August issue of National Geographic, and you'll see that there's a number of, we still have slavery going on in the United States, and the victims of those slaveries are immigrant workers. So we're very concerned with that issue, and what we propose is a binational commission that would study that in not only border security, but also, like, what are the root causes of immigration into the U.S., right? I personally believe we don't have an immigration problem in this country. We have a labor problem in our hemisphere, because if people were paid a decent wage in their host country, in their country, they wouldn't come here. Right, that's a matter of fact. In fact, most of the immigrants you talk to, that would be the case. So we have to figure out a way of how do we work in conjunction with the host countries where we're seeing the majority of people coming from, and work to try to establish economic policies that create, you know, prosperity in their own country, that so that people won't come here, right? And that's what we proposed back then. That was kind of like an out there suggestion, but I think in 2005 that's becoming more of a reality that we have to do.
Just maybe another comment. Also said in the same article that some countries, such as those known to export gang members, show dramatic increases in numbers to entering the U.S. These are people not from Mexico. They're from coming through El Salvador and Honduras, and there's been almost a fourfold increase in the past 2 years, at least fourfold increase, sometimes six times.
Yeah. Representative Gilman and Representative Thatcher, I would say that actually the trend is the other way around. In the Latino community, what we're seeing is this was before 9/11. There has been a lot of deportation. This was as a result of what's called Fix 96, the immigration laws that were created in 1996, that led to increased enforcement, and at the time the INS, the Immigration Naturalization Service, which is now called ICE, was given an increased budget to deport criminal elements in the community. And so what happened is we've seen a lot of folks, primarily from El Salvador, Honduras, Dominican Republic, and other countries, where a lot of those folks were deported back to their countries, and the gang problems were created when they got back, right? And so it's the other way around. That reporter or that that article you're looking at
from the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, that's incorrect. I mean, we're seeing the problem the other way around. You can go to El Salvador and there's huge problems with gangs. The same gangs that are up here in Oregon are down there.
Thank you, Ramon.
Thank you very much.
The chair would like to announce that any of you that are waiting for House Bill 2609 or 2610, we're not going to get there today. We'll take care of them on Monday. Okay, Eduardo, it's your turn.
Good afternoon, members of committee, Chair Gilman. For the record, my name is Eduardo Angulo. I'm the chairman of the Salem Kaiser Coalition for Equality. We are a coalition of 11 community organizations here in the Salem Kaiser area, organizations that include Mano Mano Family Center, CAUSA, the Pro-Immigrant Rights Coalition of Oregon, PECUN, our Farm Workers Union, Latinos Unidos Siempre, our Latino Youth Organization, Salem Kaiser NAACP Chapter, Salem Kaiser NAACP Youth Chapter, Mecha students from Willamette University, Citizens for Livable Communities, all the progressives here in the Marion County area. We also have our parent organization called Bilingual Migrant Parents Association, and maybe a couple of my organizations that have been thank you for the opportunity, representatives. I am here today to testify against House Bill 2608 on behalf of the 11 community organizations that make up the Salem Kaiser Coalition for Equality. The proponents of restricted driver licensing argue that licensing undocumented immigrants rewards unlawful conduct and jeopardizes national security. At first, it looks this argument has a lot of superficial appeal. But in fact, the evidence and common sense show that licensing all persons in the United States who can present reliable, secure identity documents, but regardless of immigration status, strengthens our national security, promotes highway safety, and increases insured motorist rates. The principal considerations are as follows. National security. Licensing undocumented immigrants on the basis of reliable identity actually promotes national security and assists law enforcement authorities by identifying who is in the country. Restrictive licensing undermines, not enhances, national security by pushing people deeper into the shadows and fueling a black market in false documents. Moreover, it will severely diminish the law enforcement utility of motor vehicle databases by reducing, rather than expanding, government data on individuals in this country. Our security depends on people. Whether documented or not, having the means to identify themselves and to cooperate with the police and other law enforcement authorities. Our ability to locate terrorists is enhanced if law enforcement officials can find the people that are they're looking for. And driver's license database are a useful tool for this purpose. The truth is that the 9/11 hijackers could have qualified for licenses even in a state requiring documentation of valid immigration status. They were all here on United States government's issue visas. Public safety. The primary purpose of the Oregon state law that governs the driver license system is public safety. Unlicensed drivers have not been tested for driving competence in their knowledge of the rules of the road. According to the American Automotive Association Foundation for Traffic Safety, in its report, Unlicensed to Kill, unlicensed drivers are almost five times more likely to be in a fatal crash than are validly licensed drivers. The impact on Oregon residents and businesses. Oregon has a significant immigrant population. These individuals comprise the backbone of our agriculture and many other seasonal and service jobs throughout Oregon. Denying them driver licenses imposes extreme hardship on our Latino and immigrant communities throughout Oregon, not only hurting them, but their families and their children, many whom are U.S. citizens. And most important for most Oregonians, this is bad for our economy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Santiago Ventura. And there's three other of you signed up. I'm sorry, we will not get to you today. There is a possibility we'll have another hearing on this.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. My name is Santiago Ventura. I'm a citizen of this country and also a resident of the state of Oregon. I live in Marin County. Maybe by stating that I oppose this bill HB 2608, by simply saying that I came in this country as an immigrant, as a foreign worker, working in agriculture, picking all kinds of fruits and vegetables for people in this country. In that process, I worked my way up all the way from learning English, getting a GED, going to a university, getting my bachelor's degree, and work. This is the dream of an immigrant who try to come to this country, because we believe that in this country there's the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit for democracy, for justice, for all. And I think that's the foundation of the principle of this foundation of this country. However, I have heard some of the people who still have the accent like myself arguing in favor of this bill. Sometimes we forget that we came here just like anybody else. Let's not forget that this country, there were people before we came here, the Native American, the indigenous people. But that's not the point right now. The point is here, by denying people to have a driver's license, for denying them the human right, which is universal for everybody. People will drive whether they're going to have a license or not. Just like any other, like the other argument that I have heard before, it will be a burden for law enforcement to pass this bill. Why? Because it will be difficult for them to identify who are driving in a highway, which it will create more insecure for every citizen of this state. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Santiago. Question? With that, we'll close the hearing on 2608. And John, do we have anything else?
Nothing today.
This meeting is adjourned.